In the beginning, Ajahn, when one hears about realities appearing through different doorways, it seems there is a tendency to want to know more about that, so there is a kind of a looking for or a paying attention to what is appearing at the level of thinking. So, for example, my experience would be that I might ask myself what's arising, and it's at the level of thinking. It might be sound or what can be seen or something that is experienced through body sense. So, you know, there's a sense of a whole lot of different experiences, but this is just thinking about them. To me, when we talked the other day about what is natural, being natural, mm-hmm. that seems like a fairly natural thing to do, to go from thinking about the story of everything being solid and continuous to investigating a more fragmentary, an apparently more fragmentary experience. But that is still thinking, isn't it?
Sound is heard now. Do we have to think about sound, or sound is sound?
Don't have to think about it, no. But it's like noticing that there is sound, and then there's thinking about sound, and then there is what appears visually. So there's a lot of thinking around that sort of a process in the beginning.
When there's no understanding, there must be hearing and sound, and then avijja, ignorance about them. But when there is the understanding from listening or considering, even right now, seeing is seeing now. We don't have to think it's gone and it arises and it's gone again. But the development of understanding, that which sees, and the visible object, that which appears, that's all. Beginning to attend to the characteristic of our reality instead of thinking about the same thing, people and things, like usual. And one knows that there are moments with understanding reality which has already arisen, and sometimes there is no understanding. So we understand the difference between the two, when there is attention and understanding, and when there is no attention, no understanding at all, that they are different. And what moment can bring more and more understanding? It has to be that with attention to reality as it is. And even we don't call or name it satipatthana, it's satipatthana, because a characteristic of our reality is that which sati is the one. Whenever it arises, no selection, it's aware. And panya begins to see that what we take for things and people, whenever they're seeing, is only visible object. And the visible object itself is for seeing to see, that's all. No one can do anything out of seeing and visible object.
The difficulty is if there's attending to, but there's no selection of the object.
When there is the self, there is the idea that I select, but actually it's sati itself, which arises. No one can direct it to this or that object, because it arises and be aware by itself.
So any selecting, which I think we could say is the same as deliberate attending to, is not the kind of attending to that is being referred to. It's an attending to that happens. It's an attending to that happens, but it's conditioned by what maybe one's reflection, or I mean, it could happen any time. could happen when one is listening to a talk, taking part in a Dhamma discussion, or it could happen any other time. But it just happens.
But I think the point, that Maeve's point was that it's not a question of have to think about visible object or sound, but by conditions, naturally, when there isn't enough awareness developed, there's bound to be thinking and considering about sound, about visible object, and there can be awareness of such thinking because these are also conditioned dharma. So it's not a matter of not thinking, because any reality can be known when it appears, and there's bound to be such thinking at such times.
So after hearing, one can know whether how much understanding is there for a day or in a day, see?
Or whether it's just thinking all the time.
Right thinking or wrong thinking?
Useful or useless thinking. Mm-hmm. I have a question which is unrelated to anything else and never seems to be the right time to ask it, so I'm just going to ask it. There are two kinds of sex element, faculty of femininity, faculty of masculinity, itindriya and purushindriya, and at the moment of birth, karma conditions one of these rupas which arises again and again throughout life, either the faculty of femininity or the faculty of masculinity. We also read that for some people the sex element is not spread all over the body, and the result is a combination of two sex elements. For example, a man who has the voice of a woman, or a woman who may have the body build of a man, and in extreme cases, two sex organs even. How does this fit in with the fact that from the moment of birth there is just one faculty that is conditioned and throughout life? How is it possible that there is the combination?
When one has the idea of something and one talk about it as something, is that the idea which is right?
Wrong? Yes. So rather than in terms of elements, different elements arising, so conditioned by karma, even if one element, for example, the element of masculinity is conditioned at birth, during life, other elements, femininity elements, can be conditioned to arise, this is what you're saying. So just depending on karma, which elements... And for example, I was also thinking in the time of the Buddha, there was an example of a monk who...
Whose sex changed.
Whose sex actually changed, and I just wondered how this fitted in with the Abhidharma, with karma conditioning the masculinity element at birth and throughout life, because here actually the sex changed, so it's just a matter of...
Rupa last?
Very short.
And karma can produce the different one.
Different rupas, different moments, and again, no one knows what may happen. Anything can occur. Yes. Thank you. As you say, if we just remember its elements and karma condition any elements, it's just because it seems when we read the text about from the first moment that particular element is conditioned, and then it's the same kind of element is conditioned to arise throughout life. This is just generally speaking, I think.
We were talking before about, you asked what is attention being paid to now, and the answer, I think we all agreed, was many things on different levels. And one of the things that attention is being paid to is the realities of the present moment that we're discussing. So we're thinking about realities even if there's no understanding of them, and at the same time we're thinking about maybe our comfort or tiredness or our next meal or whatever. These kinds of thinking mostly are clearly akusala. There's no kusala in it. But the thinking about the discussion we're having may well be kusala or have some kusala in it. But it doesn't seem that there's any particular different characteristic that appears. Why would that be? One would expect that the thinking that's about realities that are presenting themselves at the present moment would somehow have a quality that is different from the useless thinking that's going on at the same time.
What is useless thinking?
Thinking about the next meal.
Or the last one.
Or the last one. Or both.
We would like to know reality so much, whether it's this or that, mm-hmm. like masculinity or femininity. Mm. But what about reality right now? Is it known already or not yet? If it's not known yet, how can we know that which hasn't appeared at all?
So it's just that we have an idea that we would like to know.
And it's only idea. It's only idea, see? Instead of having more idea, what about more understanding of reality which is now appearing? Mm.
And if you have to cook the next meal, then it might well be appropriate to think about the next meal now.
Oh, yes, yes.
Always forget about moment, this moment.
Right.
Could you say again?
Always forget about this moment.
Yes.
But we can't force it.
We can't.
When it's forgetfulness. It's also a Dhamma.
So Panya knows whether there is awareness or there is no awareness. This is the beginning.
Knows when there is awareness. And maybe Maeve can tell us. What did you write?
No, she was writing down the previous comment.
The last moment, you see. Didn't want to forget. When Kunjichin said, don't forget, I wanted to write down, don't forget.
But I think that, whether or not one's thinking about cooking or mosquitoes or sex faculty or whatever, I mean, there are realities, there can be awareness any moment. So if one has the idea, one shouldn't think or consider this point or this topic, then again, it's forgetting about the present moment. It's
all
setting
past realities were useless.
Sorry?
Because all past realities were useless
because
there is no panya. Mm-hmm. So only at moment of being aware, and panya knows that it is aware right now.
Yes.
That is the precious moment.
Yes.
So one can see many things gone without understanding. It can be thinking about this or that, but they are all gone.
Yes. Doesn't matter at all, because if one thinks it matters that it was all gone without awareness, then it's clinging again at this moment and forgetting about the reality now. I have a question about anatta and sunyata, and this relates a little bit to the Venerable's comment about emptiness. Often people refer to emptiness or sunyata, and we know that sunyata and anatta are just the same, so seeing now is anatta, or empty visible object now is anatta or sunyata. In the Chula Sunyata Sutta, it actually refers to the non-voidness, to the asunyata. It says there is present only this non-voidness, asunyata, namely that connected with the six bases that are dependent on this body and conditioned by life. Why would it mention asunyata?
Because it's not right understanding.
I see. Okay. So whenever it mentions asunyata, it's just referring to not understanding sunyata or anatta. So that connected with the six bases that are dependent on this body and conditioned by life, it means not understanding of the ayatanas and so on. Okay, thank you.
I think what you said a minute ago was that panya knows when there's awareness and when there's no awareness.
Mm-hmm.
So it is
but
panya.
When there is no awareness, there is no panya.
Yes.
It's not known.
Right. So the panya that knows there's no awareness is actually a moment of awareness. I think that... we were discussing that earlier.
Yes. Yes.
But not at the level of satipatthana. That would be right. Not at the level of knowing Noah. As knowing a Dhamma.
Well, it depends.
I guess it does depend.
Ignorance can be known as a Nama.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But when we talk about their most times of the day or a lot of times of the day not being awareness.
Right.
Is there a level of panya that knows that there's no awareness?
Most times of the day, you mean?
Not necessarily at the time.
Well, I think we're talking about...
talking about a couple of different things here. Or
if we say, well, for me, today there hasn't been any awareness or something like that, I'm not saying suggesting there's any panya involved in that.
No, that's what I meant. But at this moment... You know, Ajahn will ask often, is there awareness of seeing and visual objects, or is there awareness of realities as they appear?
Mm.
And the answer is me, no.
Mm-hmm.
Is there is there a level of...
Well, there's not always a level of panya.
No.
When you answer no.
No.
But there can be.
Mm-hmm.
There can be panya which knows there is no awareness.
Mm-hmm.
One may know there's no awareness by deductive thinking, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Let's think, is there...
Mm. Well, one may say no because it's just expected to say no. It can be many reasons.
When the Buddha tried to decide if he would teach Dhamma and hesitated because it was so difficult to understand... I get in this trip, I sort of really come home. Now I understand, you know, why he was reluctant to try to teach something that is not
easy
or more like so difficult.
It can be considered whether it's true or not. When it's true, should we live in the blind world again and again?
You sometimes talk about courage,
mm-hmm.
and being courageous. Could you say a little bit about that?
Like now?
I understand you to mean that it's a bit like what we were saying before, to let go of the idea of how we think things are.
Not you or anyone can let go, only right understanding can.
It also relates a little bit to what we were saying about how there can even be attachment to ignorance or not wanting to know.
Yes.
To let go.
Mm.
And I think you often refer to courage to giving up the idea of self.
It takes
courage because there's so much clinging. Learning to live alone. Courage to give up family, belongings, everything, just to live alone with the moment of seeing and hearing. What is the... Which chetasika is courage? Is it virya or...
Yes, combination of other...
Virya and panya?
It depends, yeah.
So that you are not discouraged when you are so slow in developing understanding or you don't see any result.
And that's why, you know, when you said that...
Of the handle of the knife which wears out so slowly.
I think the Buddha thought that it was going to be difficult. Yeah, the Buddha thinks this, so it takes a lot of courage in the face of that.
There's another aspect on that, is we discussed before about kusala and akusala, virya or effort. And just as there can be kusala or kusala virya, there can also be kusala and akusala courage and kusala and akusala patience. I was thinking of the akusala patience the other night when I was actually being very patient about something, but actually it was just for something that was driven by lobha. So even courage or patience can be akusala as well as kusala, just as effort can be.
Well, like, for example, there's been a lot of dana on this trip. And often there is pleasant feeling. And it seems that there's so easy to be attached to that pleasant feeling. You know, so wanting to give more because there's pleasant feeling, you know.
And attached to the dana, to making the offering.
All of that.
Who's dana? Who's dana?
All of that, yes.
Again, I don't know how this question quite leads into anything. You often refer to the parinyas, or the application of understanding that has been developed up to the stages of insight, starting with jnata parinya, the application of what was realized or understood at the first stage of insight, when namas and rupas are very clearly distinguished. And there has to be the ongoing thorough understanding of namas and rupas. So this would be further direct understanding of namas and rupas. It wouldn't refer to any kind of conceptual understanding, I think, just to more and more direct understanding of namas and rupas as realized at the stages of insight. Is that correct?
Jnata prinya?
Yes.
It's the vipassana jnana, the first and the two.
First two, yes. Mm-hmm. But I think it refers to not just the first two vipassana jnanas, but the ongoing understanding after the first vipassana jnana, so the ongoing direct understanding of namas and rupas, because of course just the first realization of namas and rupas is not enough. So do the parinyas always refer to vipassana jnana, to understanding at the degree of vipassana jnana? Then okay, so repeated understanding of that level of those realities.
How can just this moment, which is not the penetration of realities as they are, be jnata parinya?
Right. So it has to be the understanding at the level of the vipassana jnana.
Okay. Suchi once said, in between the vipassana jnanas, you have to practice or learn more about what you experienced, what was experienced at the moment of vipassana jnana in between.
Mm. But of course it's no you involved, and it's just more, but I think what she's saying now, it is repeated vipassana jnana. So it's not a matter of learning or just remembering or applying, but actually repeated moments of panya at the level of vipassana jnana, directly understanding namas and rupas.
It refers to direct understanding.
At the degree of vipassana jnana. Yeah.
So that the next one will arise.
Exactly. Yeah. On and on. Because if we say something like, you have to go on considering, it sounds, well, first of all, it sounds a bit like someone doing something, but also consider and applying, it may not be clear that it's panya, the degree of vipassana jnana at those moments, very deep understanding.
Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
About panya.
Yeah. Because here from survey you say that Satipatthana should continue to be aware of all kinds of nama and rupa in addition to those realized at the moment of vipassana jnana.
Ah, yes, because at the first stage of vipassana jnana, not all namas and rupas are realized, but they have to be there has to be awareness and direct understanding of many more, many
at,
of them.
Also at the degree of Vipassana and Jnana. And when there is awareness of realities, Panya should consider again and again Anatta Sanya penetrated at the moment of Vipassana and Jnana. So when it says Panya should consider again and again, actually what it means is Panya penetrates again and again Anatta Sanya at the degree of Vipassana and Jnana, because consider again, maybe I misunderstood it as not referring to more moments of Vipassana and Jnana.
Awareness has to continue. Direct awareness.
But I think if we're talking about referring to Jnata Parinya, it is direct understanding, yes. And here, Panya should continue to investigate over and over again the characteristic of other kinds of nama and rupa. What it is penetrating again and again.
Because tirana parinya, it can be translated into English, but tirana is also considering.
Yes.
So we have to understand in what context.
Well, in what sense is tirana parinya considering? Because actually it's insight, so it's panya. If it's referring to vipassana and jnana, in what sense is it considering?
Moments of vipassana jnana is short or long?
Very short.
Very short. Yeah. Enough?
Never.
So after that, it is jnata parinya.
Yes.
And then after that, it is tirana,
yes,
when it considers all kinds of realities.
Yeah. But just now you were saying that the parinyas refer to
vipassana
jnana. So why would you say consider rather than penetrate or know?
When there is no vipassana jnana yet, there can be consideration,
yes,
contemplation, but not as after vipassana jnana.
No. So after the Vipassana Jnana, when you refer to Tirana Parinyaras,
it's not
considering
the understanding
has to be
from Vipassana Jnana like before.
Just to clarify, is it Tirana Parinya, moments of Tirana Parinya referring to Vipassana Jnana, referring to Panya, or considering intellectual understanding?
Developed from Vipassana Jnana.
Is it Panya at the degree of Vipassana Jnana?
Mm-hmm.
It is.
For example, after the realization of the characteristic of Nama and Rupa separately through mind, once it has arisen, can one say that one lost or never experienced that Vipassana Jnana at all? The understanding of nama through Vipassana Jnana and just considering the characteristic of nama is much different, because there is no understanding of mind before Vipassana Jnana at all. It's only in the book, after it experienced the reality through sense door, then the mind experienced the same exactly. And it is like that at moment of Vipassana Jnana, no difference at all. Because you see that whatever one read, whatever one considered, and whatever one heard, realities must be reality through mind, the process of mind or sense the object can appear. No thinking about whether it's sensor or minder, because at that moment it experienced sound, it experienced rupa through different doorways. But then they all go to minder process. After the experiencing the Vipassana Jnana, no doubt about minder, no doubt about the characteristic of mental reality. Because now there is always doubt what and how mental reality is at this moment of seeing, at this moment of thinking, at this moment of hearing. But when there is Vipassana Jnana, that can lead to Tirana Parinya, when samayana arise from then on, it doesn't mean that one forgets about the first two and three, but they develop keener and keener.
So even though you use the word consider, it is actually the direct panya, not thinking about or considering.
That's why there are vipassanayana and there are parinya. Without vipassanayana, considering is not parinya. It is only ordinary thinking, considering.
I think it's just the word consider, because we're so used to thinking of the word consider in terms of thinking, but actually this is the direct penetrative
thinking. Panya is keen enough to know that it's a characteristic which thinks.
Can I ask about a question about dana? I'm, you know, in the court, watching people give to the children, and I wonder the motivation for giving, if we should take into account what we are, that we are actually teaching too. I mean, I feel like we're, you know, maybe these children are learning that they don't have to work. They just come and see a tourist bus and they can make a lot of money, you know, because...
I
wouldn't be so...
Looks like hard work to me.
I think that in Thailand it's a lot, but in India I don't know whether it's...
I don't know either, but I wonder about the... when we give, if we should think about the effect of giving, not just I am giving, you know, and of course we don't expect anything in return if it's real giving, but I wonder about the effects that might be caused.
But do you think that they want what we have? They would like to be like they would like to have what we have. They would like to eat what we eat. They would like to be like we are, see? And what about just a little bit of pleasant moment for them?
But sometimes they're fighting each other or cursing or...
Then we have to be careful.
Mm-hmm. Can I see a lot of that?
Yeah.
Where there's fighting.
Wise giving.
Yeah.
I remember last time when we were in Sawati, the monks actually came up to our guide leader and asked him to tell the people not to hand things out through the coach windows because there were fights and it caused trouble.
I had a situation yesterday that was very unpleasant. I quite naively thought there was only one child present. And I pulled out 5 rupees to give to this child. And the child took it, and then somebody else was there grabbing. And then there were about 10 of them. And one of them actually had his hand down into the bottom of my pocket. And I realized at that point that this was not wise giving, and got on the bus. But it's very, very difficult to know in these situations.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I
learned nama and rupa. That's the point. Each moment is conditioned in order to understand the anatomies.
So wise, can you talk about wise giving?
Yes.
But what is wise?
To help them, even for a short time, to have good feeling. It doesn't hurt to help the other to have good feeling.
And I think you're asking, your question is directed to others giving.
Well, it's also about, you know, do I want to give them too? In other words, I don't want to teach them a bad habit.
Can you?
Sure. Well, I think a teacher teaches, you know. If you show them that this is the way that the world is, instead of maybe giving to an agency that helps people who are poor, for example, as opposed to would be to me more wise giving than just throwing candy out to the kids. That's, and I think that's almost self, you know, it's like watching the kids scramble and...
Especially when it's the camera crew doing it, throwing out the candies and then having the cameras rip.
For this thing, I think I have some joke. Mm-hmm. The person who coming to visit India, mostly at Bodh Gaya, when we walking around Bodh Gaya or going to Sushruta Stupa, if we are walking, if the children not follow, and the children, they are on, not interested to you. Mm-hmm. In Thai tradition, when you're going back to Thailand, you must go into temple for take the holy water, seven temple. Why? Due to the you are not look like a rich people. So, what about the children? They are follow you. It is their eyes, very good eye, a very good idea. They are thinking if they are follow you, they must get something.
Yeah.
If they are follow another person, maybe they will not get anything. Because they know you are coming here as good minds, good activity and everything, and you are coming here for give dana. So they are coming for test you. Yes, like this. When many, many group, I explain to the people at Bodh Gaya. Yeah.
When we were in Lumbini, there were big signs everywhere at the site at Lumbini saying, please don't encourage the beggars, because they don't want the beggars to go inside that area, but everyone does their own.
But in Sri Lanka, they say, don't give their children candy, it spoils their teeth. They're very serious about it.
Yeah. So everyone has their own idea.
No dentist?
No good.
Maybe the dentist wants you to give candy, so he has business.
But I think earlier your comment about wise giving, it has to be wise. One just considers. One doesn't throw things out of the bus window if you know there's going to be a fight. So that would be your example of not wise giving, I think.
No rule.
But then, as you say, just namas and rupas. Yeah, like in your example, good intention, and then who knows what conditions may follow.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right.
So, giving is good, wholesome, or not?
Depends on
the citta. Depends on the citta.
At moment of giving, you really want that person to get what you give?
Well, I liked what you said before, some moment of pleasure, even if it's... So, for instance, when we worked up, I was observing people last year who were giving not money, but giving things, and not candy, but this time gave drinks, and that felt so good. It's a pleasant feeling.
But if you don't have that, you have other things, maybe useful for them, mm-hmm. would you give?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any place which has most significance for you on this trip, Ms. Uchin?
I'd like to visit Kichikuta and Chetavanara,
okay. So
and the holy places.
At Kichiku, in the evening, in between 5 to 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening, okay. It is very quiet. and very good time for meditation. In the morning also, from 6 early o'clock morning. To 7 or 7:30. Now it's very quiet. So, 2 days ago, and so I went to that place for meditation. Very, very feeling is, very difficult to explain. Yes. It's oh, how is very nice. Yeah, no one is still coming to disturb, and very quiet. Yeah, in the evening.
And cool as well.
Yeah, a little bit. Yes. Gives a cool.
Vulture's peak. I was just thinking of Venerable's comment about we feel very happy when we're in a quiet, special place and not disturbed, meaning no beggars around or other people talking too loudly or something like that. But most of the time when we enjoy not being disturbed, most of the time it's just attachment to quiet or the pleasant feeling or something like this. Would you talk a little more about the deeper sense of not being disturbed?
I think that it's like Bao Sabai.
Kusala or Akusala.
Right.
Yeah. No dosa, but there can be loba.
Feeling comfortable can be kusala or can be
looking
with loba.
Them look like a flower.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Panchaka dhammas, yes. Yes. So often the loba seems to be calm, so we think, oh, this is very calm or tranquil on kusala, but sometimes it's loba or attachment because it feels so pleasant.
I think that when there is attachment, it's not meditation, or it's not the development of calmness or panya, because attachment is there. So only panya can understand attachment, that it's different from being calm without attachment.
And sometimes, you know, people think of meditation in terms of a stretch of time, maybe sitting quietly or something like that, but in this sense meditation is only momentary. So because usually in a day there's kusala akusala all the time, so meditation can only be the moments of kusala. So in this sense there can be meditation now or meditation when we're with the bigger children or any time, just depending on the citta perhaps.
We hear so much about breath, breathing, concentration on breathing on our list, you know.
Yes.
So it depends. It's the most difficult meditation subject, really.
And the purpose is to be calm or to understand reality as it is. That's why there are two kinds of meditation, tranquil meditation and insight meditation. But usually one might think that it's meditation, but when there is no panya, how can there be the understanding of such moment as kusala, no attachment? I think that one is trapped.
Trapped by the
loba of attachment to the calmness. And
one is lured.
Yes, yes.
So it depends on panya only. Without panya, one cannot tell whether that moment is wholesome or unwholesome.
Yes.
So one takes time having loba when there's no panya, no matter how long. Usually people do not pay attention to mitcha samadhi. Mitcha samadhi, wrong concentration. in Tipitaka there are both Mitcha and Samma. It indicates that only concentration cannot be considered as wrong or right without Panya. When there is no Panya, it has to be wrong. When there is Panya, it cannot be wrong. It is right, Samadhi.
This relates a little bit to your question or comment the other day about concentration and how really most of what we take for concentration is actually wrong concentration because there's no kusala involved. So do you think there can be bhavana at this moment or bhavana while you're following your daily duties or only at the top of the mountain?
No. No. This is always.
Or any time.
Yes, any time.
Yeah.
Just sometimes we have to spend time for that bhavana, like in the morning or in the evening. But when we are doing this our activity, it's only we must do have bhavana or samadhi. Yeah. On moments. Yes.
I think that what I appreciate or what I have learned so much from Ajahn Suchin and what I find when I read the Tipitaka is that all the Buddha's teachings come back to this moment because what has just happened is gone and the future hasn't come. So all that ever exists are the namas and rupas at this moment. And there can only ever be awareness of a nama or a rupa appearing now. So when we have an idea of a particular time or setting aside a particular time in the morning or evening, sometimes it seems like we are delaying at this moment or not having enough confidence that understanding can arise now, no matter whether we're sweeping the floor or eating our lunch or talking to the children. And I think it comes back again also to the idea of control you mentioned earlier, when we have the idea of a special time or particular time as being more appropriate.
Jokapachuban, living with the present, in the present time. When we are sitting now, we are talking now, that is how we can know ourselves, how we can control on, hear, eye, nose, speak, or touching.
Yeah, again, I think it's a question of developing understanding rather than me or anyone controlling anything, because these dharmas, the moments of seeing and hearing, are conditioned to arise anyway. No one can stop seeing from occurring now. So it's not a matter of controlling, but just understanding. And it's not us that understand. It's just another conditioned dharma.
What do you say, tathata? In English, tathata.
As it is.
As it is. Yes. Just as it is. Yes. So we're very interested in bhavana now, not a special time in the morning or evening. And we don't mind we're sitting on the bus and we're feeling tired or eating our lunch or listening to noisy children because we have confidence that seeing it now is just the same as seeing in the morning. It's just the same as seeing on the mountain. So, da-ta-ta.
Patti-patti. The Thai people think that it means to do, but actually it's not. The Thai use patipatti for doing anything, but actually patti is particular, and patti is to approach or to reach with understanding. So it's like penetration or developing understanding.
Direct understanding rather than like practice or doing something. Like even when you mentioned attending to the eating or attending to the walking or to the sensations, people read the Satipatthana Sutta in this way, but we have to appreciate that whilst following these activities, there are different realities, moments of seeing, moments of hearing. So there can be awareness of seeing, awareness of hearing. Because if we talk about attending to walking or attending to eating, actually it's just thinking about concepts. Mm-hmm. It's not the understanding of the Paramatta Dharmas.
And people think that Dhamma is different from Paramatta Dhamma, different from Abhidhamma. But Dhamma is Paramatta Dhamma and it is Abhidhamma, exactly the same. When there is the understanding what Dhamma is.
John, there's some ants eating some tea. Is this Dhamma?
Depending on intention. Citta is kusala or akusala. Mm-hmm. At moment of seeing this.
You'd like them to have it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm thinking, you know, maybe some time ago I would like to, oh my gosh, ants, we have to get rid of them. And now I'm enjoying watching them have a great big meal.
Party.
Party.
Let them have a little enjoyment.
Right. And they are. They're having this and they're swimming. They're having a swimming pool like a party.
Are they seeing too?
Must.
Seeing is seeing, not an end. Mm-hmm. Does it feel
the end?
The end. Listen.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. We have to ask them if they have panya or not.
I think the Satipatthana Sutta maybe is the one that is most misunderstood or most cheating, because people always read it and have the idea of being aware of walking or of sitting or of sensations in the body or something like this. And I was going to say why, but of course the reason is just because of clinging to the idea of self. No understanding.
Mm-hmm. Dhamma at all. And also no understanding of sati.
And this comes back a little bit to what we were saying the other day, or I mentioned the other day about actually in order to really understand the characteristic of sati, there has to be the understanding of realities of namas and rupas. Otherwise there's always an idea of being aware of an activity like sitting or walking or speaking or something like this,
or intention to do,
or intention to be aware of the sensations or something like this.
If I have the intention of being aware, and then I know, but then the next moment that's fallen away, right? It doesn't mean that the next moment you can't have awareness, does it?
Intention is a reality, and Panya can understand intention as just a Dhamma. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, Panya is not keen to let go the idea of self.
So many ways to have wrong understanding.
Mm-hmm. But Panya can see that. Yeah. Panya can understand anything correctly.
Mentioning several days ago about how the Buddha as a bodhisattva in his last life, how you didn't think there was any wrong view involved when he followed various ascetic practices, for example, and you considered this was just the result of karma and accumulations at such times, but Would you say the same applied to the other foremost disciples like Sariputta and Moggallana in their last lives? Any wrong practice? Any wrong view, I mean?
When we talk about wrong view, there are many levels too. At moment of being aware with right understanding, next moment can be Silabhata Paramasa.
Silabhata Paramasa. Yeah. And when we talk about Silabhata Paramasa, I always thought that there must be, it must be conditioned by subtle, at least, wrong view. So it must be conditioned by wrong view, however subtle. So if you say, for example, for the Bodhisattva, in his last life, there was no wrong view, but maybe Silabhata Paramasa, can we not say that that Silabhata Paramasa must have been conditioned by very subtle wrong view?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So when you say no wrong view, you mean no gross wrong view. Yes.
And what is small? What is greater? Right understanding is greater than wrong view.
Okay, so more right understanding, but maybe some subtle wrong view conditioning the Silabhata Paramasa. And that would be the same for the other key disciples. And I think that you've also said that, for example, when the Vipassana jnanas are developed, I mean, no conditions for any gross wrong view to arise, but maybe conditions for some subtle Silabhata Paramasa conditioned by subtle wrong view.
It depends on the degree of wrong view that we would say that it's wrong view.
I see. So it depends whether any kind of wrong view is called wrong view or only the grosser kinds.
No other wrong view, but there is Sakkaya Ditthi. Mm-hmm.
No other wrong view, only Sakkaya Ditthi. But don't we also read in the text that Sakkaya Ditthi has to be eradicated before other wrong views can be eradicated, that they all depend
on... completely eradicated, no wrong view can arise anymore.
So there may still be some subtle degree of Sakkaya Ditthi conditioning the Silabhata Paramasa.
Sakkaya Ditthi must be there, otherwise how can Makkajitta
eradicate? Mm-hmm. But it may be just the anusya, the latent tendency, without it manifesting or not.
It depends.
It depends. Yes.
Even the idea to spend effort as great as possible is wrong.
Or to study more, to have more understanding, something like this.
It's wrong and then view.
Sorry?
Wrong and then view.
It's wrong and it's a view.
Wrong and a view. Do you have any questions you would like? Because this is maybe your only opportunity. Anything more about the Satipatthana Sutta? Bhavana?
We have to practice continue now. It's more. And try to understand and try to know more and more. Practice again and again.
I think that this is the point for considering. Like, whenever there is the idea of practicing, it's wrong. Because there is always I who will practice, or who is practicing. Actually, sati itself arises, and what we say practice is the performing its function of being aware, so panya can understand reality little by little, unexpectedly. Otherwise, it is lopa again, and lopa is always unseen all the time. It's so near. It follows almost every process through each dhamma, but when panya does not know, lopa will lead to such and such, what it wished to be or likes to do, like practice. So I think that when there is no idea about practice, there is no idea of self. But when there is the idea of practice, who is practicing? I, again. So that is not the way to eradicate the idea of self, because lobha is there. It doesn't let go even to right development. It leads to other way to do, like they use the term practice. To me, I think that whenever there is the idea of I practice or practicing, it is always wrong, not understanding that no one can practice, only wholesome realities arise and perform the function of developing understanding. That's why it's used the term sati-patthana, not samadhi-patthana, not passapatthana, not sanyapatthana, only sati-patthana. Because it's a function of sati to be aware of a reality which has arisen. Right now, always now, always now. Understanding when sati arises, not when I practice. It's said in Tipitaka that all four holy truths are very subtle, not just the third one, but each one is very subtle. The dukkha is very subtle too, because it's the arising and falling away of reality right now. And when it's not penetrated, no one knows. So the truth of dukkha, the arising and falling away of any conditioned reality, must be very subtle. And only panya can see the subtlety, the profound truth of reality which now arises and falls away. Each moment, each reality. But the idea of practicing, can it lead to understanding reality as reality? Or it want to gain or to get something like calm? But without panya, it can be attachment, not calm. The truth is the truth. Never change. Buddha said that dukkha is the arising and falling away of conditioned reality, each one. And the Buddha's disciples said the same. Dukkha is that which arises and falls away. Because pain or pleasant feeling both arise and fall away. That is dukkha, ariyasaccha. Not only pain, but whatever it arises by conditions has to pass away. And that's the ultimate dukkha, the absolute dukkha. No one can change, no one can cure, no one can make it different at will to be permanent at all. It's gone and never come back. Who can call it back? Who can have it come back again and again? Never be the old one, because whatever arises pass away. And one can understand what is meant by courage and virya and satya and kanti, all paramis. Without parami, it's impossible to have very great kusala that can eradicate akusala.
So, Adana, can you say something about us sitting here, listening and considering, we have to know that it's not I who is trying to listen and consider. So how is that different from, say, practicing? Because we are listening and thinking, no I considering.
When you use the term practicing, what practice?
I. But when we sit here...
So there is I for you, practicing? No understanding of reality as not I at all.
So different from saying when I am sitting and considering, there's still an I.
We always think that there is I, like I am seeing. But when there is hearing about realities, seeing is real. It is conditioned to arise, so it can arise. And after it arises, it has to fall away. Can that be I? Consider about each reality, and when there is understanding, no thing or no reality can be taken for I at all. From seeing to hearing to smelling to tasting to touching to thinking, no I. They are all conditioned realities.
I understand correctly, but then I'm still here sitting and listening and considering. So there is a sense of I, even though I know there is no I.
That is only intellectual understanding, not the direct experiencing yet. But when it's direct experience, you know that there is no self at all. At this moment of seeing, in reality, can there be other reality appearing together? See, just one moment of seeing, how can there be other thing together? Just one experience and one object at a time. And this can be known by the developed panya, exactly the same. Like what one is saying, that at moment of seeing, there is no other reality. So thinking about the world with panya, it is quite different from the world of ignorance. The world of ignorance doesn't know the exact reality as it is, cannot penetrate the succession of the arising and falling away of any reality at all, because they arise so fast until the nimitta appear, and sanya just mark and remember the nimitta and take it for something all the time from birth up to now. But by developing understanding little by little, there can be moment of understanding reality, not only with intellectual understanding, but also with awareness, direct awareness of a reality that we know by listening all the time. Seeing is not self, it's conditioned, it arises and falls away. Hearing is another moment, a moment of hearing that cannot be seen. This is like a recitation of the truth, like some people recite sutta, but not the understanding of reality at that moment, which really arises and falls away. So the moment of the developed panya, no expectation for moment of vipassana jnana, otherwise it's not anatta. It cannot be like that at all, because even the object is unexpected. Because it's not the same one, it's always a new condition for new arising of a reality all the time. And think of the world with panya, when reality appears as it is. At this moment, there is nothing, see, except that which is experienced, only one reality at a time. And in Tipitaka it says that at that moment is moment of รู้รอบ to know all around of that particular object which appears because it's so clear no doubt about that reality it's like something like the small fruit in your palm see so close that you can see what is there what the object is the whole object just one at a time so one understand what is meant by รู้รอบ in Thai to know thoroughly all around no hindrance because it's so clear just one at a time at that moment dark or light see because it's monodvara vidhicitta which can experience the sense object after the sense process has fallen away so panya sees that manodvara can experience any object no doubt at all because now even there are many processes of manodvara but they do not appear even any process through after seeing or hearing or thinking but by then the visible the sense process appears so very fast and so little so fast not like now lots of trees and things and table and chairs but at that moment it's only visible object or sound or smell or taste or tangible object one at a time so dark but when panya is not ready dosa arises frightened where am I lost okay but when panya is there it's so right understanding which knows that that is the true nature of realities And after that, anything can arise as usual. The world are the same like before moments of vipassanaya. No penetration as fast as it used to be. That's why right understanding knows that that is not enough. Because there is still I. And that is not the direct experience of the arising and falling away because it's only the first jhana. Only the characteristic of a reality appear one at a time. To know that the teaching of Buddha is so true, not by considering, but by directly experiencing penetration. The nature of each reality, so he can teach all aspects of all dhammas by different classification like ayatana or ariyasatta, patijasamuppada. Because you see that hearing right now, at moment when it appears, the understanding of ayatana is there. How come when there is no ayatana, the sada cannot appear? And the citta which experiences sada or sound, no shape, no form, it's just that reality in darkness which experiences sound. They are different because one has the characteristic of sound appearing. The other doesn't have any rupa like sound, but it, at that moment, experiences sound. And the other moment, the other object, the other ayatana, see. Even paccaya can be understood, but not in words at all. For example, now, they cannot be seeing without visible object. They cannot be hearing without sound. So, whenever there is sound, there must be hearing. That's the way to understand Aramana Paccaya. Not in word, but at that very moment, that without sadda, how can citta arise and experience that? But when sadda appears, it's because citta arise and experience sadda. Sound, sadda, sound.
Oh, sound.
Yeah. Not sadda, confidence, but sound. Yeah.
But without thinking, that is difficult for me to get the second vipassana jnana, that you know without words, that the sound is the condition
because
for the hearing. Without words, I find that difficult.
Yeah, because you see that when the higher vipassana arises, even the second one, it doesn't mean that from the first and then to the second, without the developed understanding at all. Even if so fast, it is developed. So it's not the same stage.
So like for the great disciples following succession, mm-hmm. still
yeah.
development.
Yeah. Because you see, in their previous lives, they had developed lots of understanding, lots of becoming detached from clinging, but not the direct experience yet. But when the ingredients are ready, there can be any food when one cooks or when it's cooked.
And we're saying for the Buddha, the Bodhisattva,
right.
also. So mm-hmm. there had to be, just before his enlightenment, the rapid succession of the vipassana jnana. So even then we talk about mm-hmm. them being developed.
So we understand that it doesn't matter at all whether we have satipatthana, more or less, it depends on understanding. Because in the past, one might have accumulation of understanding and satipatthana, but no condition for its arising to appear and to become detached yet. But the more there is understanding and detachment, one day, at moment of experiencing directly, there can be detachment. Because one has developed lots of detachment in the past. So don't cling to sati or satipatthana.
And when we were talking about wrong practice with an idea of self, I mean, it may be if we think of a special time or a special activity, and this doesn't just refer to for example, sitting meditation and trying to be aware, but even if someone comes to listen to you with an idea of trying to be aware or listens to your talks or reads the Tipitaka, there can actually be wrong practice any time at all.
Because lack of understanding satipatthana.
It's like trying to create the conditions for
yes.
its arrival.
Exactly.
With the idea of sound.
Yeah, trying to do something
like this. So it's not the right path to eradicate the idea of sound.
So whenever there's an idea of trying to be continually aware or practice all the time or trying to have an effort, I think it's wrong practice. And we discussed the other day that if it's not the right practice of satipatthana, even if it's kusala, it's wrong practice because it doesn't lead out of samsara. So the only right practice or the right path that leads out of samsara has to be the direct development of understanding of namas and rupas at this moment, not a trying to do something.
And what is right awareness and what is wrong awareness, because there are eight right paths and eight wrong paths too. And when it's eight wrong paths, there is also wrong sati. But actually in Paramattha Dhamma, in the absolute realities, there is no sati which is wrong. But comparing with the other kind of practice besides right practice, that is wrong awareness. For example, what is right? That which is conditioned to arise unexpectedly, to be aware of our reality by itself, and that which is trying to have it aware of our reality, which is right and which is wrong. See, when it's the sati which is conditioned by itself or by conditions unexpectedly, it shows the anatta of that reality that no one can control, no one can induce. When there are right conditions for its arising, it has to arise, and it's already arise. Is that wrong or right? But when there is the idea that I will induce sati, I try to have sati, and take that which one induce or conduce it to arise as satipatthana, can it be satipatthana? Because it's not the right one which is conditioned to arise at any time, to be aware of any object.
Sorry, in that second case where you're talking there, is you seem to be describing that as wrong awareness.
Mm-hmm. Or is that... Or, it for awareness, well, but it's wrong.
I was going to say that. Is that really awareness at all?
Not at all.
There's no awareness. No. It's not wrong awareness. It's no awareness.
Mm.
Okay. Yeah.
But you take it for awareness. Right. Mistakenly take mm-hmm. it for awareness. Yeah.
That's why they are. It wrong path. And it right path.
For the novice like me, that can be difficult. You think you have awareness, but in fact there's a great deal of delusion going on.
I think that when one heard about awareness, then try to have it. Because one will forget again about anatta. Completely.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when there are conditions, who can stop its arising? Because it is aware whenever it arises, no selection for its object at all. No one can do anything. But understanding can see the difference that it's anatta, so anatta. It arises, so it is aware of a characteristic of reality. So the understanding of anatta will develop on and on to see all kinds of realities as anatta.
Ajahn, you said don't try to have it, but we understand that it is something to be developed.
It develops.
Yeah, it develops.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no need to try to have it.
Who can try?
Try not to try.
People think that they would like to try so hard, but they don't know that virya cetasika arises with almost each cetasika.
When the Buddha was trying all these other practices, mm-hmm. he was trying.
Mm-hmm. Right or wrong?
Wrong.
Uh-huh.
And so it wasn't until he stopped trying that he became enlightened.
You know. Yeah. The anatta-ness.
Uh-huh.
But you do tell us to read and study, that's trying.
No. No. Reality is not you. Depending on satta, depending on hiri, depending on otapa, depending on wholesome cetasikas, not you.
Yeah.
Even I say, try, try, try. No one can try.
Develop.
No one can develop either. Understanding.
Understand.
Is understanding. No one.
Mm-hmm. Just understand.
Right.
I asked a question in Thai this morning about listen, understand. Not that I had any doubt about it, but because it's always useful to hear Ajahn talk about it. I said, do you mean listen and then we must understand? And of course the answer is there's no self who can do anything, who must do anything. we should do anything, but it's understanding that follows naturally on listening. It occurs when the right things are heard and there is interest in what is heard, then understanding can slowly develop. Because hearing about realities and understanding the importance of it is a condition for understanding to develop.
It seems that part of that is about checking understanding. It seems to me that that's what we are doing a lot of the time. We are saying to you, Ajahn, is this right? And you say, usually no. Do you understand that to be part of the process, that it is necessary to be able to say, is this right or is that... is this the right direction? Just asking you, is this the right direction?
Yes, just ask or consider whether it's...
Well,
right.
I suppose it's about developing confidence too, that I might think that it's the right direction or that there's some level of intellectual understanding, but it seems very useful to check with you, because otherwise it could be quite wrong or misguided or deluded.
Thinking by oneself, one can go awfully wrong. But as soon as you try to explain your thoughts to another person, it somehow becomes more apparent how little one does understand, really. So it's helpful to do that, whether it's to Ajahn, of course, very helpful to voice thoughts to her, but even to one's Dhamma friends or whatever. Mm. And that's the value of continual discussion.
That
it doesn't allow you to build up these wrong ideas to such a great extent.